Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
This 4th of July was the fourth anniversary of the Highland Park parade shooting that claimed the lives of seven and wounded 48 others. Also, you know, we are looking at the Supreme Court, who just accepted to hear a case that might just very well loosen firearm restrictions regarding the purchase of semi-automatic rifles. It has to do with the Cook County law that's in place, and many pundits believe it might be stricken down by this court. And, you know, gun problems, we have debates on whether people should have more guns or fewer guns, but the fact remains that gun violence is a problem. It's a health epidemic. One in five people in the United States have had a family member who has been lost to gun violence, and that statistic is astounding. So with us to discuss this is one of my favorite public servants. He is Lake County State's Attorney Eric Reinhart. He won in the 2020 election, becoming the first Democrat to hold the position in 40 years. He's going on 6 years in office. He's really distinguished himself as a leader in bringing justice to victims of crime and proactively taking action to prevent it. Eric, thank you so much for joining us on WGN.
Oh, Karen, thank you so much for having me, and I love the show. It provides a longer format to talk about really important issues. Many of these things can't be reduced to a tweet or 30 seconds on TV, and so it really is a great opportunity to talk about this really important issue.
That's true, and I think it's also true that sometimes we as lawyers, you know, we need a little more time to explain things, because just a soundbite doesn't really capture sometimes the full nature of what the legal issues are and the answers are. So I appreciate you making it understandable for us. Eric, I wanted to talk, it was just before the Highland Park shooting, the Lake County State's Attorney's Office formed a gun violence prevention initiative. Kind of odd that it was right before that happened. Now, I just read an article that it has been very successful. And first, can you tell us how it's been successful? What are the statistics? And then I want to talk a little bit about the nature of what this this program does.
Yeah, and thank you. You mentioned July 4th, and our thoughts are always with Highland Park and also with the victims and survivors of that terrible crime. It's the worst crime in Lake County history. Seven individuals lost their lives. 40 people were injured. And so we're always thinking about them and thinking about the long-term ways to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. At the same time, we know that most gun violence is in our underserved communities that have been historically neglected for decades. And so the Gun Violence Prevention Initiative seeks to treat all types of gun violence and to address the root causes of gun violence, whether they're within an individual who's suffering a mental health crisis or individuals who are stuck in some community violence cycles, or whether it is the type of situation where a domestic batterer has access to a firearm and they shouldn't. It's a big program. It's over $2 million a year. And we address all of these specific issues, and we're seeing amazing results. Gun violence has gone down about 65%, maybe 70% by some metrics, in Lake County since we started the Gun Violence Prevention Initiative.
That's just amazing. So whatever you're doing is working, unless it's a huge coincidence, happening at the same time. So actually, what are the ways, you talked about domestic violence, you talked about people that have mental health issues, and you talked about community issues. One of the things that that you talk about and that are really working hard on is these firearm restrictions. Restraining orders. And as a practicing lawyer and doing domestic violence, I've seen that these things can be very, very effective. Can you tell our listeners what it is and what has to be done in order to obtain one?
Yeah, absolutely. And I did also appreciate your point that, you know, that it's not a coincidence. We're humble about whether correlation is causation. But at this point, the places that have these programs, and it's not just Lake County, Illinois, it's throughout the country. The places that have these programs are seeing enormous reductions. The places that don't are seeing smaller reductions. And so when it comes to the firearm restraining order, sometimes these are called extreme risk protection orders, or ERPOs. So if your listeners are not from Illinois or are Googling this, look up ERPO, Extreme Risk Protection Orders. It's the exact same thing. A police department, a police officer or a civilian can come in and ask that a judge take away the firearms and the ability to buy a firearm. They can take that away from an individual who's in a mental health crisis or has potentially engaged in domestic abuse. Lake County now leads the state of Illinois. I'm so proud of this statistic because my team has got it done. Karen, many times I'm just the mouthpiece for my team, and it's easier to get a hold of me than my whole team, Karen. But really, my team has got it done. We now lead the state of Illinois in firearm restraining orders being issued, and it's making a difference. It's making a difference in Lake County. It's a petition where you go into court and a judge makes an individualized decision. That way we're still respecting the Second Amendment. The judge makes an individualized decision that somebody is dangerous and shouldn't have firearms. Our law enforcement partners then go and take the firearms with a court order from a single individual who has maybe posted something online or talked about suicide or potentially threatened their domestic partner, even though there isn't a criminal case. And so this is a civil remedy. It's similar to a regular order of protection, and I'm really proud of our work to increase the awareness of that, because at the end of the day, police file the petitions, not our office. So police have to know about it. And I do want to acknowledge DuPage County. They were the old leader. Maybe some DuPage residents are listening to me. They were the old leader in the state, and State's Attorney Bob Berlin led the way in terms of teaching law enforcement about it. And when I became state's attorney in 2020, frankly, I learned from him to increase the training to law enforcement.
And we're going to take a break in a minute, but I do think that training probably has to be key here, because it seems to me that not only the police, not only the prosecutors, but the judges need to understand that when someone goes into a crisis with a mental health issue and they have access to a gun, that is a deadly, deadly combination. And is the training just very specific to these kinds of crimes?
Absolutely. It's really about how quickly can we move through different documents with the courts, and frankly, different digital portals at this point have made this all a lot faster in terms of applying directly to the court and getting it into court right away. The training also involves what signs to look for with an individual, but really it's about taking that, you know, doing that old-fashioned police work where a neighbor or maybe a domestic partner says, hey, my partner is not doing well. There's some real problems here, and that old fashioned police work. And when you tie that in with digital interfaces and uploads into the system, we can move very quickly to get the issue in front of a judge. And our judges in Lake County do a fantastic job of listening to the police officer or the individual, and they don't grant every one of them. They do an individualized decision, and they're very fair about it, respecting everyone's due process rights. But now there's an avenue to legally take away guns for a short period of time while the person is in crisis, or maybe before they can deal with their court proceedings in the domestic case. So it's a great tool.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We are here with Eric Reinhart. He is the Lake County State's Attorney. Eric, you know, domestic violence is an ongoing issue here in Cook County. We've seen some very high profile, very horrific cases that have unfortunately made the news, where it seems that the system has failed women and children. And in fact, there was just an article, I think yesterday or maybe even today, about how the system is such a labyrinth of different individuals and different offices and different, departments that are involved that makes it very unuser-friendly to somebody who's suffering at the hands of an abuser. Tell us about what you've done in your your county to help with the domestic violence issues.
Well, first of all, the state's attorney's office and the police departments have to be listening to the subject matter experts on this. They have to be listening to the community organizations. And to have really informed conversations about this really difficult topic, I'm going to say something controversial on your show, Karen. You can bring some news here.
Have at it.
I think FOIA should apply. I think the Freedom of Information Act should apply to the judiciary when it comes to crime data and basic policies. I'm not talking about their decisions. That's a separate branch of government. Judges should be able to, you know, have their own process to make decisions. But when it comes to information and data, and when it comes to policies, I think FOIA, I think that's a baseline pillar. That's a corner block to having these conversations. I really appreciated the article from Madeline Buckley and her colleague. And so I think that that's got to be a starting point. Second, you've got to listen to the domestic violence organizations that really are talking to these survivors and victims, and they really know what's going on. And how can we have full conversations with them if we're not all talking about the same information? In Lake County, we work very closely with our domestic violence shelter, our domestic violence organizations. We have constant meetings with them. We have more meetings with them than before I was state's attorney. We have a domestic violence council where they tell me what's going on and where we work together to solve arising problems. But also, this firearm restraining order is really critical to solving the domestic violence issue. And I think that just having these additional conversations, making sure that we're listening to victims and survivors about what they're experiencing and what the risks are, then I think we can get closer to solving these problems. And I think that can be tougher in bigger systems. I think people can be very well-meaning. I'm not really criticizing anyone in the other system, in the Cook County system, which I don't know as well. But there's got to be some common language, and I think that's data, and I think that's policies.
Absolutely, and just making it easier for people and making it easier to serve these domestic violence orders. Because if, you know, you got an order, and we all know that sometimes the orders are disobeyed to begin with, but you certainly want them to be served, because if there's a purpose of getting a order of protection, it's so the person knows that there's going to be ramifications if he or she does something. Eric, let's skip to the next issue, which is violence interrupters. What I find interesting, and having read some of your things on the website, the state's attorney's website, is that some of the gang crime that we used to see, that the territory of drug trafficking and all of that would perpetuate the gang violence and violence in these communities. But sometimes now it's not about that stuff. It's about petty disputes among young people. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Thank you, Karen. It actually ties to domestic violence and to our other conversation. There's research from the University of Chicago for your listeners who care deeply about these. I would recommend a book called Unforgiving Places by Dr. Jens Ludwig from the University of Chicago. It's an amazing book, and it describes how maybe 60 to 70% of gun homicides, whether it's community violence, which is what we see a lot of, or whether it's domestic violence, Karen, there's a 10-minute decision window in which somebody has access to a firearm and they kill somebody. We had a dog park case, which thankfully did not turn fatal, between two guys who got into a dispute about a dog, and one guy grabbed a gun. Nobody died, thankfully, but there was gunfire, and somebody got shot in the stomach, and that was in one of our most affluent areas. I'm very impacted by one anecdote that I know happened in Chicago, which is two people got into a dispute in a fast food restaurant, and the woman asked her son to go get a gun. In these domestic violence cases, it's the access to the firearm within that 10-minute window where something fatal can happen. And so if we can interrupt that, whether it's these firearm restraining orders or, your question, these street outreach workers who can either teach kids to make better decisions, and we got to start at an early age, or they're just there to mediate disputes and to be there to de-escalate disputes, that is, I believe, the research shows is the way to really have a targeted approach to reducing violence.
I don't know if teen takeovers have been a problem in Lake County as they have been here in our county here in Chicago. Have you had any of those issues? And if so, how are you preventing them, or how are you anticipating preventing them?
We haven't seen that issue. I think our law enforcement is doing a great job of making sure that we're always talking with community members and we're thinking about, we're talking to parents, we're looking at social media. I haven't seen that as much. I do want to, you know, we've talked about some of the programs in the office, but it's so important. Law enforcement in Lake County, I think, is the best in the state. And there's so many things that law enforcement does that'll never make a newspaper, they'll never make a Facebook, they'll never make Twitter. And so that is so important to have real, fantastic law enforcement leaders and law enforcement men and women on a daily basis who are always talking to their community. I think that connectivity is potentially why we haven't seen that in Lake County. And so I haven't seen that as much, but I think law enforcement being connected to the community is a really important way to prevent that.
And getting out in front of it, right. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen you quoted as saying, quote, smart prosecution equals safer communities. Moral prosecution equals a fairer society that nurtures the worth of every individual, regardless of class, race, or gender. And, you know, I think we've seen a lot of people who are criticizing this advent of the progressive prosecutor, especially in big cities where the prosecutor's offices are focusing on reducing the number of people going to prison, you know, not so much as like throwing them in jail for 50 years, but really trying to get out in front of the problem and making sure that people are not being wrongfully convicted. How do you balance that, Eric? I mean, you know, you come to the table as the prosecutor and you are supposed to punish people, put them in jail, apprehend them, but you're also looking at kind of the holistic view of safety in your community.
Karen, I love your question. I think part of this is just speaking truth to each other, to think about history and how we got into some of the problems that we have in America. We are we have to be the best resourced country that also has a crime problem. I think there are crime problems in other countries that may actually be bigger, but they're not as well resourced. And so we need to ask ourselves that question. We need to look at what does the data show us in terms of, you know, in terms of what really impacts people who have broken the law. And this idea that reform prosecutors don't believe in incarceration. The very first case we started talking about, Karen, is we gave the shooter in the Highland Park case the maximum. We gave them life sentences. Our office gave out a life sentence, or we argued for a life sentence in a very bad murder case just earlier this week, and I was personally present in the room when we argued to detain an individual who had committed hate crimes in Lake County and was scaring our immigrant communities. So we believe in detention. We just don't think that detention should come down to who has more money. And I will say the Safety Act and bail reform is such an important reform. And I got to be honest, Karen, I think it's very interesting how the main newspapers and the main news sources all talk about the large decrease in crime in Chicago, which is amazing. And then many experts talk about what it may be. And we know correlation is not causation. But at the same time, nobody ever brings up the Safety Act. I think the Safety Act has driven gun violence down because the revolving door of cash is over. People don't understand that you could post $2,500, $5,000 to get out on a gun case before the Safety Act. Now you can't. And so these young men, and maybe they're not even going to prison, Karen, maybe it doesn't end in a prison sentence, but it starts with some jail detention at the front end. These young men can be stabilized, can be analyzed, can be talked to, and can be put into programs. Maybe they don't need to go to prison if it's their first gun case, but they're off the streets in the hours after the gun violence.
And that makes...
I think that is an underreported issue, as everybody in Chicago has fantastic discussions about what caused it. Nobody ever brings up the Safety Act.
I agree with you. And I predicted that actually, that because more judges are detaining people because there's no issue of money. If you're not safe to go out on the street, you're not getting out. That's the end of the inquiry. Eric Reinhart, thank you so much for joining us. The state's attorney from Lake County, please join us again. And thank you for doing a good job in keeping our community safe.